They aren't very big, but there will be a lot of them. NASA will soon launch the next half dozen Earth-observing satellites. Besides gathering data, they'll demonstrate the next generation in satellite technology itself and new approaches to studying the planet. Joining me with more on these small but potent beauties, Aaron Ridley, professor of space science at the University of Michigan. Aaron, good to have you on.
Well, thank you very much.
Tell us about these satellites. I guess in satellite technology, there's something novel here.
Yeah, typically NASA builds and launches very, very large satellites that are sometimes on the order of 1,000 kilograms, where these satellites, instead of launching one very large satellite, we're going to launch 8 very small satellites.
And we should back up a moment. What is your connection with the program?
So I am the constellation scientist for the mission, and so it's my job to sort of look at the orbits and figure out where the satellites are going to go and how they're going to separate and all that stuff.
So you'll be right in there in, I guess they call it, mission control?
I won't be in mission control for the launch, but I will be in contact with, basically, as soon as they're deployed, we're going to start tweaking the orbits and everything, so very shortly afterwards.
All 8 of them will be on the same rocket launch?
That's right. It's launching from a Pegasus rocket that is going to take off from Cape Canaveral. And then the very interesting thing about the Pegasus rocket is that it's taken up on an airplane, and then they drop the rocket once they get to about 40,000 feet or so, cruising altitude of a normal airplane, and then the rocket just takes off. It will take about 10 to 15 minutes to get into orbit, and then all 8 satellites will pop off 2 at a time. It will take it about 5 minutes to deploy all of the satellites, and then the rocket will come back down and burn up in the atmosphere.
And what level of orbit will these satellites be in?
They're going to be about 300 miles above the Earth, so a little bit higher than the International Space Station by about 50 miles.
And does that mean that they orbit along with the Earth, or do they have a different time of rotation than the Earth?
They orbit much faster than the Earth rotates. So each orbit around the planet will take about 90 minutes. So they'll go around the planet about 15 times every day.
So about the same level of orbit as John Glenn first went.
That's right.
Tell us about the technology on these. You said they're about the size of microwave ovens. Are they squarish or roundish, or what do they look like?
They're sort of shaped like a bird. So it's called the Cygnus constellation, and they're shaped like a bird because it's like you have a microwave, but then you put 2 big wings on it, and the wings are the solar panels. So it's how it gets power to actually take measurements and everything. And the technology that's on the spacecraft is actually a very simple technology. It's just a GPS receiver. But instead of actually looking up towards the GPS satellites, so GPS is in our phone, basically work by talking to satellites. The satellites send signals down. Your phone gets them. It needs like 3 or 4 satellites to actually receive those signals, and then it can tell you where you are. The Cygnus satellites are going to look down towards the Earth, and those GPS signals actually bounce off of the Earth, and then they're measured by the satellite. Now, why is that interesting? Well, so the ocean actually reflects GPS signals. Water reflects these types of signals. And if the ocean is very, very, very smooth, then it reflects the signals really, really well. But if the ocean is really rough, then it degrades the signal, and the power that you receive goes down. And so what we're doing is just measuring the power of the GPS signal coming back from the ocean. And the roughness of the ocean tells us the wind speed. If it's very high winds, then the ocean will be very rough. If it's very calm winds, then the ocean is very calm. And so we basically are measuring the wind speed over the ocean just by measuring these reflected signals.
We're speaking with Aaron Ridley, professor of space science at the University of Michigan. To be honest, that sounds like a convoluted way of checking what's going on right at the Earth level. Aren't there sensors and buoys and so forth that can do that much more simply?
Oh, yes, absolutely. The problem with buoys is that they're only in one location. And so what we're looking to do is try to measure what's happening in a hurricane. And a hurricane starts out in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, and it ramps up as it's coming towards the United States. And so it's moving across like thousands of miles, and we don't have buoys all over the ocean to measure those wind speeds. The other way that we measure winds in a hurricane is we fly airplanes out to the hurricanes. And those take, you know, maybe 5 hours to get out to the hurricane. They go through the hurricane a couple times, and then they have to come back and refuel. And so it can take many, many, many hours to actually do this, where and they only get one cut across, one or two cuts across the hurricane, where our satellites will actually fly over the hurricanes over and over and over again. And so we can see how the hurricanes are developing as they're moving towards the United States.
Is this technology, this measurement technique, I should say, related to backscatter they sometimes use in radar?
That's exactly right. So what we're using is called forward scatter, but it's the exact same technique. So past NASA missions have actually flown backscatter radars, where they send a signal down to the ground, they get a reflected signal back. The problem with that, and it's not really a problem, but the satellite has to be really big because it actually has to send this really strong signal down and then receive the signal back. And that takes a large satellite, where our satellites only receive signals, so they can be very, very small.
So they're really passive devices in that sense.
That's exactly right. They're very passive devices.
And what is the life expectancy of them, and how will NASA use them?
So we're slated to have a two-year mission. The satellites, so we're getting paid by NASA to operate the satellites for 2 years. The satellites actually have a lifetime, and a planned lifetime of about 5 years. And so at the end of the two-year mission, if we're still doing really good science and NASA's really happy, they might give us more money to keep going. Our satellites don't have any propulsion on them, so they're so small that we didn't put any propulsion. And they'll probably deorbit and re-enter the atmosphere in about 8 years. And so the maximum we could ever hope to fly the satellites is about 8 years. But they're relatively cheap. And NASA could say, well, we really like this technology, or NOAA could say, we really like this technology, and put some more of these satellites up into orbit.
And is there meaning to the number 8? Does that cover the Earth or cover the oceans with 8?
That gives us a revisit time to the hurricane of about 12 minutes or so, and we really liked that revisit time. It's a compromise between this revisit time. Ultimately, you would really like 10 or 12 or 100 of these things up, but the rocket that we have was able to take 8 very comfortably. Also, the budget that NASA gave us allowed us to fund or to build 8 very comfortably. And so 8 is a really good number for the science that we want to get, and it allowed us to fit on the rocket and within budget.
So these follow one another in the orbit, and that way there's always one passing over the spot you want, as opposed to having a synchronous group always looking at the same space continuously.
That's right. That's right. And as the satellites are going around, the Earth is rotating underneath them, and so you actually get you'll have one that measures, say, like the eastward side of the hurricane. The next one will come along, and it will measure a little bit further to the west, and then the next one will come, it will measure a little further to the west, because the Earth is rotating underneath it. And so you sort of get this swath painted through the hurricane.
Aaron Ridley is a professor of space science at the University of Michigan. Thanks so much for joining me, and good luck on the launches there.
Thank you very much for having me.
Find a link to a picture and more details about these small satellites and to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.